All right, where do we begin? Let's see here. Let's go ahead, and I'm making a quick note right now about one of our visitors. We're going to be talking about some things, the real-time things that are taking place. All right, Sister Christine already texted in saying, what did Sister Christine just write in here? And oh, boy, I'm dealing with technology here. Praise God. I was so happy to receive the Holy Ghost yesterday service. I was so happy to receive the Holy Ghost yesterday in yesterday's service, I believe is what she's saying. And by the way, everyone, get ready because we've been talking about this in recent weeks about me opening up the lines. Get ready. At the end of the devotion tonight, I want to open up the lines for whoever wants to share something. You may have something right now in your mind, in your spirit, and you might be something that may be provoked or activated in you as we're talking tonight, and you might say, you know, I want to share something. And everybody, a testimony is a powerful, powerful thing. Let me say that again. The Word of God says that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So if anyone has a testimony, a word of faith, something great that the Lord has done, and perhaps it's been a prayer that's been answered, perhaps you've been going through a trial and you're out of that trial, or you're not out of the trial or the test yet, but the Lord has given you sustenance, He's given you something to go on to get you through that trial, please share it tonight. And I mean that if you want to have something to say, text me in the next, while we're doing this, the next 5, 10, 20 minutes, go ahead and text me. Hey, Brother Vic, I do have something to share. I want to say something, and I will open up your lines if you want to say something. Or you may be too shy to speak up. Text it to me. Brother Vic, this is what I want to say. Send it to me. I just saw met Sid and Jessica at the church here. They came to church to pray a little while ago. And they gave me the idea, maybe some of them might want to text something in. Hey, go ahead and text it in, and I'll read it for you. Look, I'm making it easy for you, everybody. Everybody, we're all a part of this church. We're all a part of the revival that is taking place. And even though it's Brother Vic and his big mouth right now talking, I'm not the only guy that's doing this. It's all of us. All of us have a say-so, have a word. Boy, my mind is already going to a Brother R. Durame, who was at our Evangelism Street service here a couple Saturdays ago, and he had never done it. I said, Brother R., you want to say something? Well, yes, Brother Vic, but I'm not sure. Hey, just go with it, Brother R. Just start sharing a little bit of your testimony, and you see how it begins to open up. And that's exactly what took place. He told me afterward, Brother Vic, it just came out. It just flowed. And I told him, Brother R., it doesn't matter if you're talking to one person, 100 people, or 1,000 people. It doesn't matter. Just start speaking, and the Lord will give you the word. And because that's all we are. We're just a vessel. We're just a mouthpiece. And so with that said, everybody, who, if you feel it to speak tonight, text me. If you feel it to just text me your testimony or your thought or your faith, text it to me, and I'll read it for the rest of the group. Boy, I hope you're feeling the anointing that we're feeling. Let's begin by talking about yesterday. Boy, so many exciting things that took place yesterday. In yesterday's services, Brother Deathridge, he's been a godsend. Pastor Clark said at the beginning of the year, we want to pray for an evangelist, for a speaker to come, but we don't want just anybody to come. We want the Lord to send us the right man for the right season, the right woman, the right man and woman, their husband and wife, most of them, the right couple, the right people for the right seasons. You see what our pastor is aiming for? Precisely, he's aiming for precision. It's like a sniper, you know, guy that's he's shooting for the bullseye, for a dead mark that he's looking for. Boy, and I'm saying that in the full spiritual sense of that term, everybody. We are aiming for precision. We're not just here beating the air with our fists, but we are aiming with a precise target in mind, and that is revival. That is souls to be won. Praise God. I hope you're feeling this anointing that we're feeling right now as we're saying this, because this is what the Lord wants, everybody. The Lord wants us to be precise with a target, with a goal, with a precise intention. I love what Pastor Clark said a couple of months ago. Heaven is not my goal. Heaven is my destination. You remember that? Heaven is not just our goal, but heaven is our destination. And that's the same way we need to look at this revival that the Lord is bringing on everybody. It's not just a goal. Oh, you know, it'd be nice if we get into revival, have some good services. You know, we're going to get excited, jump around a little bit. And that's all good, everyone. But there's a precise target, a precise goal that we have in this revival. And that is that we get souls to come into the church, visitors that are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But also there's a development that's going to be taking place in each and every one of us. We are all going to excel. We're going to develop. We're going to go to a new place in Christ. Oh, boy. Hey, I hope you're feeling this. This is exactly what the Lord wants in all of us, a personal, individual revival to take place. Perhaps it could be something where, boy, I know that Brother So-and-so, he believed in healing. And Sister So-and-so, she talks about her great healing that took place in her life a year ago, 5 years, 10 years ago. But can that really happen for me? Amen. The answer is yay, yay, and amen. It can happen for you, and it's going to happen for you. And when it happens, not if, but when it happens to you, sister or brother, whatever it is that the Lord's going to do for you, you're going to be able to share that word of testimony. Boy, I keep feeling the Holy Ghost just saying this. You're going to be able to share that testimony for someone else in our church. It could be your brother or sister. It could be a new person that the Lord brings in. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Praise God. I hope you're feeling this giddiness, this joy that I'm feeling as I'm talking to you about this. Because it's not pie in the sky, everybody. It's the real deal. This is really what's happening. The Lord is allowing us to go into a new place in revival in our church. Revival. Everybody say it right now. Revival. Avivamiento. To make alive something that's dead, that's asleep, dormant. But the Lord's going to shake us back to life. He's going to bring new life into us yet again. Praise God. Well, let's say this. I just heard, let me take a drink of something because Brother Vic's getting a little dry here. I don't want to put people on the spot. As I talk about this, you know who you are. If you want me to name your names after I share this, feel free to let me know and I'll name your names. But just after the service last night, there was one individual that started complaining about something. A little bit of a shortness of breath. Think about that, everybody. After a big, long service, you're worshiping, you're jumping around, leaping for joy, and praising God. And all of a sudden, at the end of the service, you have trouble breathing. And what's the first thing you think of when you have that symptom? Ooh, is it the COVID? Is it the virus? Is it that new variant? Immediately it strikes fear into your spirit, fear into your heart, and it causes you to kind of take a step back. Oh boy, I can't be a part of this revival now. I can't be a part of what's happening because I got this very real physical symptom. I can't breathe. Hey, anybody, let's just be real here. If I felt that, where I couldn't breathe, I just take a step back and say, whoa, Lord, you see what's happening. Unfortunately, I can't be a part of this revival. I can't be a part of this faith. This great thing that's taking place in our church, because look at my situation right now. Everybody, think about that for just a moment. If it was you, all right, Brother Sid Morris just texted me right now. Go ahead, brother. Thank you, Brother Sid. I'm trying to be respectful, but I'm talking about Brother Sid Morris. He's a good man. Him and Sister Jessica, there are great things that are taking place in their life. But let me just say, as soon as, hallelujah, I'm feeling this. I don't think I need to ask Brother Sid's permission. I'm going to say it. As soon as the Lord, hallelujah, as soon as you begin to get used in the kingdom of God, and as soon as you begin to get used in the church, and I'm going to say it, Brother Sid and Jessica, and they're not looking for the limelight. They're not looking for a position or title. They just want to be used. They want to do something for the kingdom of God. They want to. They're willing to just put on an apron, servant's apron, and help around in fellowship or clean up the church. But as soon as they get started used in church, as soon as someone like them starts getting used in God's kingdom, things are going to start happening. Negative things are going to start coming up against them. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. Pastor Clark has said it, and this is one of the things that happened last night. But the Sid started feeling some symptoms. Whoa, I can't breathe. Boy, I can't catch my breath. What's going on? Is this the virus? Is something happening right now? I better take it easy. Hey, this is natural. This is normal. I'd feel the same. That's the first thought. I better take it easy. And you tell someone about it, they're going to tell you, hey, brother, take it easy. Sister, just take it easy. And that's right. We need to make sure that everything is in order. But on the spiritual side of things, it kind of slows us down. It kind of hampers our faith. It kind of throws a wet towel on our fire of faith, everybody. Right away, we had some people praying for Brother Sid, and I've been praying, and I'm going to be praying for Brother Sid. And today he told me just that he and Sister Jessica still came to church and prayed. And he said, you know, Brother Vic, I feel better now. I kind of rested up a little bit. Maybe it was the way I slept and something, you know, my breathing, whatever it might be. But I believe I have faith the Lord is going to take care of me. Well, everybody, thank God for that. And everybody, let's be praying for Brother Sid that everything comes out all right. But I want you to know that about an hour after, I believe it was a couple hours after this happened last night, someone else, it was a woman, and I won't name her. If she wants to text it in, she can text it in, and I'll mention it. But out of respect, I'm not going to. She let us know the same exact symptoms all of a sudden. Maybe it was this morning when she woke up or last night. I don't know. Boy, something in my chest, kind of a little bit of a burning, a tightness in my chest, and I couldn't breathe well. I had difficulty breathing. And everybody, look, I'm not trying to be dramatic here. I'm just trying to be real here. If this happened to you or I, it kind of slows us down a little bit. Lord Jesus, what's happening? I can't breathe. Well, come on, let's face it. When people can't breathe, if you don't breathe right, after a while you can pass out. And if you pass out, it can go from worse from that point forward. People go into a coma. Or if it's the virus, you know, it can get even worse than that. And God forbid it goes into an even worse situation than that. Again, I'm not trying to strike fear in anybody's heart. On the contrary, I'm speaking about these things openly to all of you so that we be praying for our brothers. We be praying for our sisters as if it were us, as if it were our husband, our wife, our loved one. We'd be concerned. Lord Jesus, resolve this. Deal with this, Lord. We don't want this. Let me see, I got some text messages. This is all real time, everybody. You know what, and I want to just stop and say this. Usually we have a speaker, a pre-designated speaker, and they do much better than I do. But right now, the season, Pastor Clark has said, we want the right man or the right woman for the season of our church that we're in. Well, right now what we're doing on Monday nights, I believe we're being led of the Holy Ghost, and we're doing this for the right season, the right thing for the right time. And I feel like this is right. Yeah, Brother Chris just texted in. Right. Amen. He feels like this is right. Amen. We'll take it, Brother Chris. Thank you for the word of encouragement. Hey, I need all the encouragement I can get as well, everybody. But what's my point in saying all of this, everyone? We're trying to be led of the Spirit. We're trying to do what the Lord wants us to do for the time being, where we find ourselves right now. Now, the message that came earlier this afternoon was this. I was talking to a colleague, a partner of mine in business, and he was asking me, hey, Victor, he knows that I'm part of the church. He knows that I'm doing things in the church. He says, tell me, what does Jacob mean? Because he named his son Jacob. He's about 6-7 year old boy. And I told him, I said, well, I hate to tell you this, but the name Jacob in the natural means this. And I told him, means supplanter, a deceiver, someone who's a trickster, who kind of, he's a supplanter, a deceiver. But I told him, here's the flip side of that. He used that to deceive his father, to steal his brother's birthright, his brother Esau's birthright. And you all know the story, how he put goat's hair on his arms and in his shoulders and his chest, and his mother was part of it. His mother was in on it. She wanted him to have the birthright. So he did something really naughty, something really bad, but look what it was that he was fighting for, everybody. He did it the wrong way, but his heart's desire was for a good thing. He was willing to do the wrong thing, the wrong method to get it, but it was the thing that he was after that I believe that God honored. You know the story later on as he is traveling through the desert from one point to another. There he met with the angel of the Lord, and he began to wrestle with him and fight with him. And at the end, the angel said, hey, I can't stay and play anymore. I can't stay and fight anymore. The daybreak is coming. I've got to leave. We all know that the angel could have easily outpowered the man. We know that. But we know that that was the angel of the Lord. Some call it a theophany, where it's the Lord in the form of an angel. And it said, the angel of the Lord said, I've got to go, Jacob. I've got to go. But look at what Jacob said. I'm not going to let you go until you give me the blessing that I need. Everybody, I want you to get a hold of that. I'm not going to let you go, Lord, until you give me the blessing that I need. I feel it just saying that. Until you give me the blessing that I need, that I desire, that I've got to have. What is your blessing tonight, everybody? Is it a healing? Is it a blessing, a spiritual blessing? Is it a financial situation? Is it something in your body, in your mind, in your emotions? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The Lord knows it, and you know it. I'm not going to let you go, Lord, until you give me that blessing that I desire and that I need. And again, we know that the angel of the Lord could have overpowered him, but I believe we all know the Lord knows the future. We knew what the Lord knew. What that man needed. The Lord knows what we need, everybody, and he makes an allowance. He allows us to wrestle with him, to get a hold of him, and not let him go as Jacob did that night. And we know what happened that night. The Lord touched him in the hollow of his thigh, and he tore, broke his sinew. He was not able to walk the same way from that day forward. Oh, there's a long message that we can go into. We don't have the time to talk about it, but you get the gist of it. He did not walk the same way from that point forward, everybody. And he also changed his name from Jacob, which means supplanter, deceiver, a trickster, someone who will do whatever it takes to get what he wants the wrong way. And he changed his name to Israel, which means a prince with God and a prince with men. Think about that. Now, Jacob, you are now going to be a prince with God, a prince with me, and a prince with men, a prince with humanity. People are going to look at you differently. They're going to respect you. They're going to see you for something else than what you are, because you are now my true servant. You're walking differently. Boy, I'm not sure why I felt like putting that in there tonight, but there it is, everybody. Let's desire that blessing that God wants to give you. He wants to give you that blessing, but sometimes you got to get a hold of God in prayer, and we've been talking about that. Let's get to the house of God. Brother Dave, I ran into Brother Dave tonight around 5:30 p.m. tonight. There he was praying, and just several of us, Sid and Jessica, just several others that were coming in that span of time that I was there. We've got to get a hold of God in prayer, and we got to get that desire, that mindset. Lord, I'm not going to let you go. I'm here in prayer. I may only be here 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 5 minutes, 30 minutes, but in that time, Lord, I'm going to make it count. I'm going to be effective and efficient in my prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman or young person availeth much, or older person. It doesn't matter your age. Boy, I'm going in many directions tonight, but how many times have I told the elderly folks, Sister Marlin, Sister Naomi, Sister Helen, these older folks, you know what, Sister, please pray for me. I covet your prayers. I need your prayers. And I believe honestly and firmly that what it takes me to do 30 minutes, an hour of prayer, I think they can do it in 2 or 3 minutes. They may be feeling feeble, and somebody may be on the line tonight. You may be sick. You may be feeble in your body, or it may be an older person who I can't pray for very long, but I believe them kneeling down and praying for just a couple of minutes, I believe they can do more in prayer than I can do at times. And the Lord's going to hear and beckon to their call and listen to their prayer. And I want their prayers. Pray for me, older sister, my grandmother in the Lord, my aunt in the Lord. Pray for me. I covet your prayers. Praise God. Where am I at? I don't know. I'm all over the place tonight, but I hope you're feeling this, everybody. We've got to get a hold of God in prayer. Lord, I want your blessing, and I'm going to fight for it, and I'm not going to let you go just like Jacob decided. I'm not going to let you go until you give me the blessing that I desire, that I need. Praise God. And I'm going to move over. We're almost done here, everybody, but let's move over into another area. Fellowship last night. Look what took place. And going, Brother Dave, we all need to thank Brother Dave. And when you see him this week, thank him, because he and I talked about this a couple of months ago, and it was him who spearheaded it. But he and I talked about doing this Chinese food thing, and it was great food. We kind of learned some lessons last night. We're going to learn how to give little proper balanced rations. That's our fault, nobody's fault. We hope everybody got to taste some of that good orange chicken, some of those hot wings, and the chow mein and everything else. Thank you, Brother Dave, for doing this and going the extra mile. Praise God. All right. But look what took place. I told Brother Rao the day before, Brother Rao, this is so important what we do in fellowship. It's not just the food. It's not just the eating. Look what's taking place, everybody. We are uniting our church, our visitors, and some of all the older folks that have been here for a long time. And there's fraternization, a fraternity. Fraternidad, something that's being tied. I think in Italian it's fraternos or something like that. It means family. It means unity. And that's what's taking place as we're fellowshipping. There is a unity that is being built and developed. Perhaps there's some of us that have not fellowshipped with some of us other folks for months or even years. Well, hey, we need to break out of our cliques. Pastor Clark talked about it. Let's not just be, you know, one or two people. No, let's share us and share the relationship with other people. We need to make sure that we are balanced in everything that we're doing, everybody. Well, I didn't plan on talking about this tonight, but the Lord, I believe, is leading us and guiding us, everybody. We need to be balanced in all areas and aspects of our lives, and this is one other area. We can't just be a clique and just, oh, I'm comfortable with him or with her. No. We need to be comfortable with everybody. How else are we going to be able to reach the masses and the people that are the Lord is going to send us in our evangelism efforts? Well, I only talk to certain kinds of people that I can relate to. I can identify. No. We need to be all things to all men, as Paul said. The Apostle Paul said, I'm all things to all men. Praise God. There's a saying, when in Rome, right? Well, it doesn't have anything to do with Paul, but you hear what I'm saying. We've got to be able to lower our defenses, or lower our, I don't want to say standards, but as far as our standard of, oh, that's the class of people that I talk to, and that's the kind of person that I can do. No. The Lord, the Bible said he had lunch and dinner with publicans and with sinners, and you remember the Pharisees, look at this man, he calls himself the Son of God, yet he eats with publicans and sinners. I mean, look at this guy. He's wrong in everything that he's doing. Well, the Lord has given us a clear message. And by the way, he was eating. He was fellowshipping precisely with publicans, the people that were the lower class. Look at the way they are. They're all politicians, and they're just money people, and the sinners. That's exactly who the Lord came for, everybody, for you and I. And we've got to be able to do the same thing. Again, I didn't plan on going into all this tonight. We're talking about fellowship and the great benefits in fellowship, but we got to learn some lessons. It's not just about sitting and eating and having a little bit of time with someone we like and someone we want to talk to. Let's begin to spread the wealth. And there's some lessons to be learned here. Yaravashatai. All right. Brother Marty Sanchez is sending a text message. We need to break down our walls for others. Thank you, Brother Marty. Hey, and everybody, keep doing this, what you're doing. This is not just about Brother Vic talking here. I really would rather hear your voices saying these things. And if you do, text me and I'll open up your line. But if not, send in a text message like Brother Marty just did. We need to break down our walls for others. Oh, boy, we can go on and on about that. That is the truth, Brother Marty. It's not about me. It's not about just you. It's about everybody else. And we need to be able to lower down our walls for other people. Hey, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's a verse in the Bible. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But how are you going to bear your brother's or your sister's burdens if you don't know them? Ooh, come on. We can talk about that for a little bit. If you don't know them, well, I know them. That's Brother so-and-so. That's Sister so. Yeah, but do you know them? Do you know the situation? Do you know what they're going through? Even as I'm talking, I'm thinking right now about some of our brothers and sisters that are going through some hard things, and I didn't know about this a month ago. I didn't know about this a couple of weeks ago until I started talking and reaching out. And you know what? A lot of people are shy. They're embarrassed. I don't want to put my laundry out there. I don't want people to know about it. I mean, this is shameful. This is embarrassing. Everybody, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do we want to fulfill the law of Christ? Then let's get to know each other. Let's get to help each other. Well, that way we got some. I don't have anything to pray for, Brother. Oh, believe me, trust me. There's plenty to pray for. Pastor Carcass said it, and you're not going to know about it until you start reaching out to your brother and to your sister. No, boy, Brother Vic didn't mean to preach tonight, and that really is not my intention, everybody, tonight. I'm just trying to be helpful and encouraging to everybody about everything that we're doing right now. There's a benefit to this. Fellowship. Okay, let's get back to it. Fellowship, because I want to share something that took place last night. There was a woman there, okay? Single mom, Monica is her name. She came with the three young boys, I think a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old, something like that. Sister Mary brought her a few weeks ago. Do you remember Sister Mary testifying about this? Let me take a drink here because Brother Vic's getting dry. Sister Mary talked about this, and I'm going to go back to it. This is good. I hope Sister Mary's on the line. And this happened about a month ago, 3-4 weeks ago. Brother Vic, it happened. It happened again. I was at work. It was a woman in my work, and the Lord told me, give her a car, talk to her. And I was like, no, it's just me. No, don't do it. And the Lord kept telling me, go talk to her. So as soon as the woman came out of the restroom, I lifted up enough courage to go up there and give her a church card. Hey, Monica, I want to give you this church card. It turns out the woman listened to her response. Oh, your Truth Church? Yes. Oh, some woman texted me a picture of this card a while back, and they told me I needed to go to that church. It's a good church. Do you hear what I'm saying, everybody? Their Sister Mary didn't want to approach this woman, but she finally listened to the call of the Holy Ghost. And as soon as she did it, the woman told her that someone else texted her a picture of our card. She doesn't even go to our church, or she used to. I don't know what the deal is, But she said, you need to go to that. If you're near Ontario, you need to go to that church, Truth Church, because there's some great things taking place. Everybody there, there's a message in that. You get it. I'm not going to go into detail. All right. She starts talking to her. She says, well, I go to church, but I, you know, there's things that I need, and I have some needs and this and that. Well, she came to church the first time 2-3 weeks ago. There, Brother Prime and I were praying for her at the altar. The Lord touched her. She even fell back in the spirit. And afterwards, she told us, and she told me, you know, I felt that, the Lord, I felt the holy something. And she goes to a Christian church. She goes somewhere else. But she hasn't experienced what she's experiencing at our altar, everybody. The Lord touched her. She came back again a Sunday later, and she came back again last night. And there, as we're praying for her at the altar, I felt to tell her something to this effect. I said, Monica, and she had her eyes closed, her hands raised up in the air. I said, Monica, the Lord wants to take you to a new place. I felt that. The Lord wants to take you to a new place in Him. I'm being very careful and very cautious in saying this. You see, a lot of people go to a different church, and we're not going to try to knock other churches and tell them, hey, our church is better because of this, this, and that. All we're saying is, hey, the Lord moves in our church. You could feel the anointing in our church. That's all we're saying. We're stating the true fact. Thank you, Brother Jackson, for the true fact. And that's what I felt to tell her at the altar. Monica, the Lord wants to take you to a new place, to a new place in Him. Praise God. All right, that was over. At the fellowship, I saw her as she was getting ready to leave, and I went to her, and I said, Monica, you know, I really felt to tell you what I told you. And then she opened up and she said, Brother Vic, I can tell you, as soon as you came and you placed your hand on my head and you prayed for me and you said that, I felt that. And again, you know, I'm not saying that this is about Brother Vic, everybody. No, no, no. This is about her. The Lord had me give her a word and it worked. She said, well, as soon as you said that, I felt it. I felt God in you saying that, and yes, I want the Lord to take me to a new place in Him. But look what else she said after that, everybody. Let me check. I'm getting messages here. All right, just keep on texting me messages if you have something you want to say. She said, Brother Vic, I don't want God to just take me to a new place. I want God to take my boys with me to that new place. Oh, listen to what she said. I don't want God to just take me to a new place, Brother Vic. I want God to take my boys with me to that new place. I thought that was so genuine, so heartfelt. You know, we might all think, it's such a simplistic thing that she said. Well, of course the Lord's going to take you and your boys. But look how she's thinking. She's thinking as a careful mother, careful of her kids. I want my boys to come with me. We don't know the situation where those kids may have gone through. We don't know any of that. But she does. She knows what she's suffered, and she wants God to rescue her and her boys. And of course, I took that opportunity to tell her what happened to Brother Vic when I was about 5 years old. You all know the story. I won't go into detail. A little Vietnamese woman knocking on our door on a Saturday morning, inviting us to Sunday school. And of course, the Sunday school bus was going to pick us up the next morning. And my mama said, I'm not going to let you all pick up my kids and take them on that Sunday school bus unless you let me get on that bus with my kids. And the little lady said, okay, you can come too. And of course, on the very first visit, Mama got the Holy Ghost in such a powerful manner. I shared that whole story in detail with that woman last night. And then she said this, Brother Vic, I want that Holy Ghost. Everybody, I want you to hear. I'm saying this for a reason and for a purpose. I'm reminding everybody why we're doing what we're doing. She said, Brother Vic, I want that Holy Ghost. I'm praying to God for that Holy Ghost. I want that Holy Ghost experience. Everybody, I want you to be praying for Monica. And you ladies that are listening to this, you'll see her, Monica. She wears glasses. She has black hair, about medium build, and she has the three boys. Keep your eye out for her. Connect with her. I even brought Jessica, Sister Jessica, last night, and I had her connect with Monica. And they spoke for a while, and they exchanged phone numbers, and that's all good. Everybody, be mindful. Be watchful of her, especially you ladies. Connect with her. She wants the Holy Ghost. Why? Why does she want it? She sees what's happening in our church. She sees the revival that's taking place all around her. She sees the people at the altar all getting blessings around her, and she's feeling left out. It's kind of a good thing, you know, at first. I want this. I want what these people have. It's real. It's genuine. It's joy. It's the Holy Ghost. It's peace. It's power. I want that. Well, everybody, let's make sure she gets it. We are all cognizant of it now. Let's acknowledge that reality, and let's connect with people like a Monica. All right, Sister Jessica just texted in. All right. All right. You know what, Sister Jessica, I want people to hear your voice say, she just texted me something very powerful. Are you okay with coming on the line, Sister Jessica? Well, I'm going to just put you on the line, but I'm just doing the courtesy of asking you up front. But Sister Jessica, I want you to please say this with your own mouth, which you just texted in. Everybody, this is powerful what Jessica just wrote in, because she just sparked something else with my own brother, something that's going on in the world. Sister Jessica, I just opened up your line. Are you there?
Yes, Brother Vic, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, loud and clear. Go ahead and tell everybody what that new visitor, Monica, has asked you to pray for.
Well, when you brought her over last night and introduced us, we got to talking, and she said that her son's dad and her are not together, but that their grandma, his mom, is a witchcraft person and practices witchcraft. And she's really obviously worried about her sons when they go to the dad's house, because the dad will leave them with their grandma.
All right.
So it's burning in her heart that the church pray against that spirit of witchcraft that they are exposed to.
All right, I had muted you for just a second. Is that pretty much the gist of it, Sister Jessica?
Yes, that she's really asking for the church to pray against that spirit of witchcraft that the boys are exposed to, and her heart wants to be in church.
Okay, Sister Jessica, first of all, I'm so thankful that the Lord knows why he led us to talk about this and why I brought this up, because this was going to be triggered. This is so important, everybody, for so many reasons, and I'm going to go into that in detail in just a moment. But first of all, let's focus on this issue. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost right now is talking about this. Here's a woman who goes to a Christian church, everybody. She's been going for a while, I don't know, months, years. But she's not getting what she needs. She comes here because if Sister Mary was prompted by the Holy Ghost, tell that woman about church. She tells her, identifies, comes to church. Now she knows what's happening. It's real, it's genuine, and she has a real need. There's witchcraft affecting her family. Now, we know we don't need to be afraid of that. We understand that. But these other people, when they're affected by something like this so directly and personally and intimately in their family, now I know, Sister Jessica, why she told me, Brother Vic, I want what you told me is true at the altar. I want God to take me to that new place with him. But I want him to take my boys with me. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost saying that. She wants protection. She wants her family to be okay, to be safe from all that other crazy junk that's going on in the world, everybody. This is why it's so important for us to be aware of our visitors and their needs. And it's okay to reach out to them like Sister Jessica did last night to connect with them. Why? Because once they feel a little bit of trust, look at what she just connected with Jessica last night, and she lets you know this last night or today, Sister Jessica?
It was last night.
Well, on that very first conversation, she opened up with you, Sister Jessica. Everybody, there's a lesson here to be learned. Let's connect with our new people, with their new visitors. They're coming for a reason. They have a need, but they may be too ashamed or too embarrassed or too afraid to talk about it. But once they connect with you and they feel a little bit of trust like she did with Jessica, she's going to open. They're going to open up. When we finish up tonight, we're going to be praying for her and some other needs. But now with that said, I'm going to go ahead and share with you what my brother Art just told me here in the last few days. They live in Anaheim, some real nice apartments, real modern, real, you know, nice apartments, homes, you know. And across the way, so a new couple just moved in there, a young couple. Listen to what I'm saying here, a young couple, husband and wife. And guess what they put on their door? You know, what do you put on your door, everybody? Welcome and God bless this home, and we pray for God's protection here. No, you know, we see nice things like that. Well, guess what they put on theirs? They put this interesting little wooden kind of a little figurine that looks kind of like a person, like a woman with a little something attached to her, and right next to it, a pentagram. Straight up in your face. Am I saying it right, by the way, Sisters? A pentagram? You know, the thing, the symbol that they use, the upside down goat's head or whatever, it's a satanic symbol. I hope I'm describing it right, but that's what it was. Someone just texted, I think, Christine, yes, that's what it is. And my brother Art tells me, well, Vic, there it is. It's right in our face. And he explained how this couple, they're practicing some level of witchcraft, but what it's called nowadays, the acceptable, the politically correct term, everybody, is called Wicca. Wicca. You may have heard about it. See, when you use the term witchcraft in Spanish, brujería, it comes from old Mexico and a lot of Latin, Spanish-speaking countries. It's kind of an old-school thing. It's kind of brujería. It's like witchcraft. But now in our new modern society, you know, we are elevated. We're educated. No, it's Wicca. It's kind of a cool, new, hip thing for a lot of younger people to be involved with that. And, you know, they call them the white witches. You know, we practice good medicine and we help people. Well, we all know that's all baloney. But the point of the matter is this. It's infiltrating our society. It's infiltrating the younger set, the younger. Boy, we didn't even plan on talking about this, everybody, but we are in warfare, everybody. This is called spiritual warfare, and this is what we're up against. This is what we're dealing with. We know we're on the winning side, but we need to know what we're dealing with, everybody. And so my brother explained, this is what's happening with a lot of younger folks, millennials, younger people. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in any form of Christianity, but now they're being introduced to this new type of modern new world religions. And this is one of them, the Wiccans or Wicca, whatever you want to call it. So this is what this woman is dealing with right now, and it's affecting her family. Everybody, let's be aware of what we're up against. You know what I'm going to do, everybody? I know that not a lot of people, okay, Sister Julie said, amen, will do. I'm going to open up the lines, everybody, here in just a minute. We're going to be finishing up here in just a few minutes anyway. I want everybody to hear everybody's voice. All right, someone's already speaking up. I think Sister Lena just texted in, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, and the spirit of witchcraft in Jesus' name. All right, everybody, we're in the same general consensus, and we're all going to do that together because I'm going to open up the lines. I want everybody to hear everybody's voice as we pray for this, against this. We're going to pray together for Monica and for all the other people. You know, Pastor Clark touched on this in the last few months about witchcraft and demonic activity and things that are taking place in some of our homes and some of our families and some of our visitors and extended family members that are dealing with all this crazy stuff that's going on. Well, let's not be shocked by it, everybody. Let's not be afraid of it or surprised. We know it's out there, and the enemy is beginning to push back on the revival that the Lord is bringing to our church. Why? Because we're praying. So without further ado, we're finishing up here in just a minute, but let's end this devotion, this revival devotion tonight, with some prayer, with some anointed prayer. I hope you feel the anointing already. The Lord is leading and driving us into this place, everybody, and we're going to take on this mantle of anointing, of prayer that we're going to go into right now, and let's lift up our voices together. Let's hear our voices as we pray. Boy, we got quite a few people. I don't know how many we got. But let's pray together right now for a Monica and for anyone else who's being affected with this situation. I'm going to open up the lines. Let's hear each other's voices praying together, everybody. Here we go. Praise God. Hallelujah.
The Lord rebuke you, Satan, and the spirit of witchcraft in Jesus' name.
All right, everybody. We are live, everybody's voices. Let's go ahead and lift up our voices and pray together for a Monica and for Iyarabashatai. Any other situation where they're being affected by witchcraft, brujeria, any of that nonsense, because we have the blood of Jesus, we have the name of Jesus, we have the blood of Jesus that's going to cover us, protect her and any other situation that's taking place. Lord Jesus, we're praying for Monica and her three boys and any other situation, Lord God, that's being affected by demonic activity, demonic warfare, witchcraft, brujeria, shaman, whatever they call it nowadays, Lord God. We're praying, Lord God, for you to cover, for you to protect. Oh, Lord Jesus, for you to cover with your precious blood that you shed on Calvary's cross, Lord God, to forgive us of our sins, but also to cover us from any wrongdoing on the part of the enemy. Anyone that's trying to throw anything on any of our people, we're asking you to bounce it right back. And instead, Lord God, bounce your blessing of salvation, of healing, of deliverance upon those people. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we're praying for this, Lord God. We feel your anointing, we feel your blessing and your touch. In the nombre de Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we know that this is all for a reason. We know that this is a spiritual warfare that is taking place, but we know we're on the winning side, Lord God. We know that we have your mantle upon us, Lord God, of protection, your mantle of anointing, your mantle, Lord, of deliverance against anything that would come against us. In the name of Jesus, En el nombre de Jesús. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody, I know we're coming up against the 8 o'clock hour. Why don't we just end and thank God? Why don't we just lift up a voice of thanksgiving and praise and worship our God for what he's already done in this. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God. We worship you. We praise you, Lord Jesus, because you've broken some things tonight. You've broken those chains that bind. You've given deliverance, sent deliverance, Lord God, to these situations. You're breaking these ropes, breaking these chains that would bind, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord God. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, everybody, it's actually 8 p.m. on the button. Everybody, I know we're going to hear everybody's voice. We're going to continue to pray in this manner. There's many people that are coming to church and pray regularly. We'll see you all on Wednesday night. But between now and Wednesday night, Pastor Clark said, as soon as you wake up in the morning, even if it's just for 2, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, get on your knees. Yeah. And I mean this. Even if you feel, well, I'm still half asleep and I'm not going to pray right, it doesn't matter. You're going to train and condition your mind and your body to do this. Yes. Trust me, it works. Get on your knees for a few minutes. Just thank the Lord for what he's doing. Yes. And for him to be with you that day. And you're going to get on your knees again later that day and that evening. Let's get into a culture. Let's develop a culture of prayer, of seeking the Lord, everybody. All right. God bless all of you. Good to hear your voices. We love you. And let's continue to stay on this train of revival in the name of Jesus. I love you too, Mama. There's Mama Chita. She'll go ahead and tell me she loves me. We love you too, Mama. We love everybody. Yes, it was. God bless everybody. All right, everybody. Everybody go ahead and say, everyone say hallelujah. Go ahead.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, everybody. Hallelujah. Boy, I felt a good strong man's voice. It's a party today, Brother Art. Hallelujah. I like it. Hey, we love everybody. Boy, I don't want to hang up. I feel the anointing here. Everyone, just keep sharing this anointing. Get in your prayer closets tonight, and let's keep doing this in Jesus' name. We love everybody. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. God bless. Amen.